Prosperity. We're going to title this lecture The Right Way, because the etymology of the word prosper means to take the right road. Let me just explain a little bit. It's only used three times in the New Testament as yo'od oro, which is to say to help on the road. Let me take you a little deeper than the Strong's, though, to show a good way. That takes part on your part in helping others, got it? To show a good way. God's Word will always show you a good way, and of course Christ is that way. To lead on a good path, and again, Christ is that good path. Now, back to the Strong's Concordance, to succeed in business. Okay? That's taking the right road. A road that God can bless you in, a road that God can lift you up in. And God always blesses righteousness, and that simply means doing your best to do what's right. And I don't know any of us that's perfect. I know we like to have a go at it. Saleh is the Hebrew word, but the other word is what is used in the Septuagint, as we will cover some in the Old Testament. It's still basically the same word and same meaning. But I like the etymology, because it lets you take the word prosperity and kind of gives it an understanding before you take off out the gate. The right way. If you take the wrong way, you can't expect prosperity. You can't expect God's blessings if you take the wrong path. So naturally, that would, through common sense, have to be the etymology of prosperity, because you're only going to prosper eternally if you follow Him. There's a lot of shortcuts in life, and some people choose to take them. But they're short-lived, they're heartbreakers, because it's usually doing something that is crooked or untrue. And you always reap what you sow, period. That's one of God's simplest instructions, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Open your Bibles, if you would, the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 54. You just part your Bible right in half, and you'll probably end up there. Isaiah 54. We're going to utilize this word in action in the Scriptures here to bring us a better understanding on how to take the right road, and even down to how it's impossible for your enemies to ever take the right road if you're righteous, unless they have a total change of heart, all right, away from abuse, misusing, and so forth. All right. First, I want to identify who we're talking to. Isaiah 54, let's pick up who we're talking about so we've got the subject matter and we understand who's being discussed. Isaiah 54, verse 1, and it reads, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." Now, childbearing is a blessing, and that's fine. So who are we talking about here in the spiritual sense? As it is written by Christ, "Woe when I return to those that are with child," meaning spiritual child. Why? They did not remain virgins. They fell off to the false Messiah and were with child, suckling, meaning nursing along his work, when Christ himself returned. So he's talking to the elect here, okay? You got that? He's talking to those that will be without spiritual child, that is to say, not being impregnated by the mark of the beast, to have the seal of God in their forehead, knowing truth and sticking with it, all right? through thick and thin, can-do type people. That's who the barren is in the spiritual sense, waiting as virgins for the true Messiah. And skip on down then, if you would, to verse 5. For thy Maker, he that created you, is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. You belong to him. He created you, and you know something? You're the only one like you. There's not another living soul that is like you. You are different. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. And he wanted someone just like you. And that's precious, dear one. So see that you don't disappoint him. Now, I know we all do, and I know none of us are perfect, but that's why he paid the price on the cross, that at repentance you can have that forgiveness that makes you a new child. I don't care what your age is. And you have that fresh start in life with his blessings, with his promise of you having the right road. Okay? Now, verse all the way down to verse 11 for me. That's setting the stage of who we're talking to so that you can better understand his message to them more in depth. Verse 11, Isaiah 54. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. That's in the world. The world's not going to comfort you if you're following Christ, if you're on the right path. They're going to say, come on and jump into the water. How about doing some drugs today? How about living it up, the good life? No, I'm sorry, it's the bad life. How about a little smear of HIV? You know, let's enjoy. Huh. It doesn't sound like fun to me. Okay. So, you are tossed in tempest as far as the world is concerned because you want no part of that. Period. And not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. This is a promise all the way forward to Revelation 21, verse 18, where it's talking about the eternal temple. In other words, it's going to be good for you when we get our work done, but we do have work to do. That's why God sent us here, is to help others find the right path, to see that they're on that path, and within that they prosper spiritually and even financially and in business when you do it his way. He gives us instructions in all things, even farming. And you know something? He's always right. Verse 12, and I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of present stones. It's going to be beautiful is what he's saying. We're not going to spare anything for you. You're worth it. And this is in a spiritual sense, so, you know. 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. That's important. How can your children be taught of the Lord unless you teach them, beloved? That's important. The word is important. It'll stick to their ribs. It'll take them through troubled times. The word of God will. It will give them direction. Do you know what it'll do? It'll put them on the right road. The road to success. The road to prosperity. By the guiding hand of Almighty God and his word. Taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And of course, this looks on, even if you would, to the millennium. It's going to be so peaceful there. We're going to have discipline there. And God's elect, those that remain barren, you got to stay with me now, because that written to those that are barren has to do with the very last hours before the spurious Messiah, before the true Messiah returns and under the rule of the false, okay? So you got to stay with me, all right? So he looks forward from that moment. What is he saying, basically? You take the right road and it'll be worth it. You'll be doing great. You will prosper. 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established, doing what's right. That's what that means. No one enjoys doing what's wrong. It puts you on a guilt trip. And you can't help feeling guilty for it. And you know it. Everybody's got their own ship. They got to sail it. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you how to sail your ship. I just teach God's Word. Your life is your business. Thou shalt be far from oppression if you are on the right road. For thou shalt not fear for and from their terror, for it shall not come near thee. You know why? God's not going to let it. God takes care of those that love Him, that follow Him, and mainly those that tell Him they love Him. That's important. Because He wants to know it from you, not your kinfolk. He wants to hear you say it. Father, I love you. And in saying that, how precious it is. Okay, verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. That is so important, beloved. Do you know why? For I am on your side, is what God says. You be on the right road, God is on your side. There's people may even talk about you. There are people may say some pretty bad things about you. It's not going anywhere. God will take care of it, all right? And I'm not telling you to stand up like a patsy and let people slap you around, okay? But I'm saying take care of business, and God will take care of that you can't, all right? Period. Verse 16, behold, I, emphatic, this is your Father, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. He said, you see that hot fire? I'm handling that. Does it scare you? Well, it shouldn't. If your Father's doing it, you shouldn't have any fear about it at all. Why? God's a consuming fire. And that bringeth forth an instrument, for His work, and I, emphatic, have created the waster to destroy. I even created Satan. And after his fall, he does his work quite well. That's to destroy if he gets a chance, and that's why he will nip at your heels all through your life when you turn your attention away from it. Instead of telling him, get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my life. Okay? If you let him, he'll be there. Even if you're on the right path and you're sidetracked, he's going to nip at you if you give him a chance. Don't give him a chance. Why? Christ has given you power over all your enemies and Satan, the destroyer. That's why God said, I'm not ashamed of it. It's there. He doesn't have to be ashamed. I give you power over them. Tell them where to go. And there's no excuse then for one not to be a can-do type person and to know that you're going to prosper when you're on the right path, the righteous path. Right? Verse 17. No, listen to this carefully. This has to do with our nation also. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. There's the word. No weapon will succeed against you. It shall not prosper because it's not on the right path. Okay, it's not on the right road. That's why it's not going to prosper. It's not in the will of God. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, in what? In judgment, people that judge you, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, doing what's right, is of me, saith the Lord, in serving Him and in doing what's right. Our nation always wins, and it's because of our Father, not our might, not our strength, but for our having been on the right path. I know that we have a lot of problems. And I know that we take care of business as best we can. And we try to help people all over the world. And I know some people get real nervous about this. But there's not one weapon, not even Satan. You see, that's why he brings him up. He's the big destroyer. Not even he can bother you if you're on the right path, prosperity, prospering with God's help. I will take care of you. You are my child. I created you for the purpose of loving me. Don't let me down. Stay on guard. There's nothing out there. As long as you stay under my great wing, that means of doing what's right, I will see that nothing harms you. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have some bad times, because he expects you to take care of business. It just says they can't win against you. It doesn't mean they won't come, my friend, because they're in the world. And if you're doing a good thing, I guarantee you that the, as it is written, the every tongue that shall rise against thee in a lie, you know, they're going to come. That's what he's saying. But it's not going to win. Why? Because God's own always take care of their own character to the point that it'll stand any test. Bring it on. But there'll still be talk. Bring it on. Okay? So it can't win against truth. It can't win against God's blessings. When you're on the right path, when you're on the right road, you're going to prosper. Thank God for this chapel and the foundation, the platform that he has given us. And he continues blessing it and blessing it and re-blessing it. I thank him for that, because his word is taught here. And that's what your children are supposed to study. Taught of the Lord from his word. Whereby when you are on that path, there is no weapon formed that can succeed against you. That, again, I remind you, that doesn't mean it won't come. But everybody knows how to stomp them little ants, don't they? It's no problem when you have God on your side. All right? Continuing right on into chapter 55, it's the same subject, all right? Prosperity, being on the right road. Hold. You listen here. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God's word is free. God's word is there. It doesn't matter how you are. You come and help yourself. You sit down at his table and you take in the beautiful food that he puts before you. I'm talking about his word and how precious it is. Truth does not cost money. This is one of the reasons that you hear me sometimes when someone says, this particular church said if I would told my mother on a fixed income that if she would send money, they would pray for her. Come on, get a life. Prayers don't cost money. God doesn't charge money to touch people. That's not the way he is. And thank God for it. People identify themselves. All you got to do is be wise enough to listen and observe, and people identify themselves quickly. You don't have to worry about it, okay? Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul, let your inner being delight itself in fatness. Learn God's word. And be so healthy spiritually that you can hardly contain it, that you can share it, because you're on the right road and you can help others get there. Incline your ear. Open them up. Listen, your spiritual ear. And come unto me. Hear. and your soul shall live. That's eternally, forever. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David, the promise and the love of the truth that David had, and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the only begotten of Almighty God, but Mary coming through the tribe of David, David's tribe, I should say, correctly put, that Son was coming, the only begotten. He said, I'll make a covenant with you with him. That's to say, Christ. Verse 4, behold, I have given him, Christ, for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. You can't find a more sure commander, my friend, one that never misadvises you. You know, man messes up. We just do in our lives. Usually when we are sailing our ship and we make a bad decision, do you know we know it at the moment? We've got that deep down feeling, uh-oh, I should not have done that. And that doesn't quite square with my righteous mind, or as I'm thinking right. Don't do it. You know, use good judgment and discernment from our Heavenly Father. We have a commander, a leader, that will make that covenant with you, that if you do, this is the covenant, you do your best, you try your best, when you fall, you repent. He says, I'm going to give you the victory. There is nothing going to prosper against you. That is to say, you know, a lot of people, you don't fit this category if you're one of these that would be plowing along, it's hot out here, I quit. You're not a servant of God. Okay? I just want to get this straight here, that some people get they're quitters and then wonder why God doesn't bless them. What are you on the road for? To travel. To learn. To take care of business. To be successful. You can't be successful if you're a quitter. It is so hard, but poor little baby. Get a life. You know, find the Father and cash in on that covenant that He makes with you, and get some starch in your back and stand up and act like a man or a woman of God. Okay? That's the covenant He makes with us. Okay? Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. That's to say, his children. Well, if this was Christ, who are his people? Christians. That means Christ man. We're talking about nations that are Christian, basically. And I'm not shying or putting down anybody in the world. I'm telling you who God blesses, okay? God blesses all of his children, but he has a covenant with some, and that's why they're blessed. That's why you don't find children blowing each other up, okay? Too much, okay? We get some strange things in this world. Satan's worked hard, but you know what I'm talking about without me having to say it, okay? God, the glorified one, takes care. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Do you know something? You know what happened to the 10 virgins? 5 of them were all fixed. They had oil in their lamps. And that oil happens to be olive oil, the oil of our people. The others had their lamps. They looked like good, strong Christians. They had it all right there. They had just one problem. Those little rascals were about empty. They were Christians without oil in their wick, which is their brain. They had not studied the Word of God to the point of getting them through the deception of the false one. And call on him while he's near. Why? Because that door slammed shut when that 5 came back. too late, Charlie. Bye. So, while it's available, talk to him. Let him know you love him, because he certainly loves you. And you know something? After the price he paid for the remission of our sins, you owe it to him. Why did he pick you anyway? Do you think people would have picked you? He did. And he's not ashamed of it. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, and I'm not taking any confessions here, okay? But what I'm saying is, look at your own heart and soul and thank him for forgiving you for your sins and giving you a new start in life. He loves you. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. If he wants to live, let him forsake it. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. It's that simple. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He paid the price, he will even multiply the pardon, in the Hebrew more correctly translated. You know, it makes God happy when one of his own come back home. That's why you have the parable of the two brothers and prodigal son is what I'm trying to say. Is that God went, he went out, he met that prodigal son on the way. I mean, he had been out messing around with sinners, you understand? And God went out and met him on the way and hugged him. God's not ashamed of those that are repentant and want to come home to him. He meets you. He goes more than... He doesn't wait for you to get there when it's in your mind. He goes out to meet you, just like he did the prodigal son, with forgiveness. It makes him happy. And as it's written in the New Testament, when one does, even the angels in heaven sing and rejoice over one sinner that says, I love you, Father, forgive me. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Just be on the right way. A way is a path, okay? But we can never expect to let our thoughts be the thoughts of God, because he knows everything. I know this may be a great disappointment to some people, but we don't know everything. He does. And that's why when you want knowledge, you should know who to go to. And he will help you. He will help you with understanding. What God is saying in a way is, you don't understand my overall plan of salvation, because there's some out there you would curl in a minute. You'd like to put the torch to them, maybe even. But he doesn't look at it that way. And I'm talking about some really bad people. There may be a spark of hope there that he sees that we can't. That's why you want to always leave judgment to him. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I will add a thought here. When we are in flesh bodies, and the flesh body is kind of has a little mind of its own, as well as the inner dwelling, and it's always griping at you. My feet are beginning to hurt me standing up here. Can't you do something about it? There's a chair right over there. You could go over there and sit down and rest a while. No, they didn't really say that, okay? That's just an analogy, all right? But my feet are doing just fine. But what I'm saying is, your body will do that to you. You'll sit there a while and say, Mama put them beans on before we left home. I can almost smell them right now. My tummy said, I'm hungry. Okay. So don't let the flesh talk to you. You take charge. Let the spiritual man take charge. And then you can understand why heavenly thoughts are above earthly thoughts. We kind of got a disadvantage. We have to carry this weight of these bodies. 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, it doesn't turn around and go right back up, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, my thoughts are high enough that I know how to take care of business. And many of us, all we have to do is raise our head and open our mouth, okay? If you're thirsty, that's what the first word was, you know, coming out the gate here. If you thirst, so why do you pay money for it? Go outside when it's raining and open your mouth. God feeds His own. He takes care of His own. He rains on both the just and the unjust. It's just that if you're the just, the rain He puts on your crop is going to do a lot better, okay? It always does. Though it may seem to some, it doesn't. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Listen carefully. It shall not return unto me void. That means empty, nothingness. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. There's that word. It will be on the right road. It's going to go forth. It's going to help people to succeed. It's going to help businesses survive. Not that that's the subject, but it means it as well when it's righteous, when it's on the right path. In the thing whereto I sent it, God's Word accomplishes exactly what He intends it to do. And praise God for it. It always does. You know, when you speak of power, and when you speak of prosperity, to be on the right road, salik in the Hebrew tongue, to show a good way, our Father wants to show you a good way. Hey, you can get off out there in the rough if you want to and have a tough old life, but you can go His way and you can walk through the tough life and say, I'll straighten this mess out. It won't take me long. Because I can cut it. I got God with me, and we can do anything. Okay? And you can, with God's help. Being naturally right. That's what's important. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You got it? When He leads you, you're being led by the Prince of Peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Do you know why? I'm going to quote from Romans chapter 8. Don't turn there. Even the creation itself groans for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, things will be joyful all over. But when they can see Christ in you, I know some of you are going to say, well, this may sound silly. No. When you have Christ in you, even nature itself can feel it. And it brings joy wherever you go. Because they know that a child of God just walked that way. Their salt seasons the place. All right? It's called spirit. Your spirit. 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. That's evergreen. God Himself would say in one of the minor prophets, I'm a great fir tree, meaning I've always got green leaves. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. That's allspice. Ooh-wee, good. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That name is Christ man. That name is Christian. That name is your name. Because you love Him and you let Him know it. And you quite frankly become a champion of your people. Why? He loves you. And when He makes a promise, you can count on it. I can stand before you for one and guarantee it. Okay? Think about it. Be prosperous. How do you do that? Get on the right road and stay there. Okay? Well, what if I run into a sinner? Help me. You know, what if they open their mouth? Listen, God didn't send us to this world to goody-goody two-shoesers, okay? They don't need us. Because they will say something to the effect, I'd be a holy Joe. Sin has never passed, that word has never passed my lips. I can't stand sinners. Well, what are you doing here then? Okay? That's the whole message of Christianity, is to help sinners. So if you're too good for them, that doesn't mean you are to become a part of them, but a lifter up of them with what? The Word of God. It changes lives. It changed yours. In many cases, and you know it. God can do that. So, stay on that right path, and what are you promised? Prosperity. Success. In business, in life, find peace, find happiness. Get Satan out of your life because of anything that negative that comes up. Get rid of it. You know, you're a child of God. You don't have time to put up with stuff like that. If the people of the world down here want to mess with junk, give it to them. You don't need it. You don't need junk, and you don't need an argument. Let them do it all. And you be happy. And let your family be happy. Okay? That's what happens when you're on the right path. If something comes up, you know how to take care of business. Okay, one more place we're going to, and that's going to be it. New Testament. Let's go to the third epistle of John. That's just before the little book of Jude, just before the great book of Revelation. The third epistle of John. Subject being the right path, the right way. John, this is one of the shortest little chapters in the Bible, books, I should say. But John wrote it, and there was a lot going on over there that he kind of wanted to get straightened out. But it's good for all of us, okay? It kind of helps us along God's way. Chapter, naturally, there's only one chapter, so we'll say verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, that means Lord, probably the Lord of the house there, whom I love in the truth, meaning because he's in the truth, I love him. That's why you want to pick your friends that way, those that are truly in the truth for the truth's sake. That's kind of the title of this book, Truth for Truth's Sake, okay? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. I wish you to be on the right road. I wish you to be successful in business. I wish you to help on the way. And it be in health, doing it God's way, Leviticus 11, even as thy soul prospereth. There's that same word all over again. As your soul. You might stop and think about that a minute. Not only is your body on the right road, but your soul is as well. That means you've got it together, okay? You're on the right road. 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. In other words, notice how many times he acknowledges truth. What's truth? It's God's Word. Meaning he was teaching God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's that word again. Truth being the Son. Stay in it. Stay on the right road as best you can. And God will bless you. Beloved, thou hast faithfully whatsoever thou doest to thee. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. You know what he's saying here? You don't play favorites. If it's a stranger coming through this town. See, they didn't have hotels back then a whole lot, and you had to count on friends when you were traveling. He said, you treat them all nice. 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a goodly, godly sort, thou shalt do well. You're doing a good job, and I'm proud of you, okay? This would be like the equivalent today of someone needing just a little, maybe just a little depression they have that day, and you say, come on, God's in control. It'll all work out. You love Him, don't you? That's His promise. See, that helps them on their way. Because, verse 7, because that for His name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They didn't want to be a burden to anybody, but just to take God's word forward, the truth, and help people. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And again, truth being the subject, the Word of God. Now here's where we come to the sticking point here. You see, just to make a long story short, what we're doing here, Diotrephes, he was the head preacher of the big church there in town. Ooh, boy, I mean, he had the big robes. I mean, he was the reverend, the right reverend. And I shouldn't say that. That would fit someone's title. And I don't want to take away from anybody's preeminence, okay? But this old boy had it. One of these strangers come through town, they came in that door, and he showed them the door and said, you hike it right on down that road, buddy. You don't belong here. We be holy men. Okay. Even though they were out on a mission for God, we be holy men. Okay. So that just little lay of the ground. Now let's read it here. I rode into the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wouldn't have nothing to do with us. I mean, here we got poor old Gaius, he's just a citizen. And he's taking people in and helping them on the road and taking care of the sore spots, but not the preacher, not the church, okay? Verse 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now, let's don't knock the preacher. Every man's got to sail his ship, okay? I don't care what anybody teaches. If it's different than me, do it somewhere else. Okay? Don't try to do it around me. Okay? That's why I'm independent. I don't push myself off on nobody else, and I don't want anybody else pushing themselves off on me. That is to say, the truth. Okay? Teach God's word in truth. And everybody has that right. So don't judge churches just to observe what you see is what you get, okay? When you go there, that's it. Were you welcomed? Were you made to feel, were you fed the Word of God or something else? Okay? So anyway, I say this because I don't want you to think I'm judging churches. I'm not. But people, yep, I would do that. I mean, this preacher was out of line. Okay, verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Can you see, take the right path, the path of good, not the path of evil, okay? And you're going to do good, and you're going to have God's blessings. The point being, I don't care if it's a church or a family, we're Christians. Act like it. Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I want you to note how much truth is mentioned in this little book. And let truth become that important in your life, in guiding you, and in directing you to stay on the right path. And anytime your mind or some other individual tries to double talk you, oh, come on over here on the wrong path for a minute. It'll do you good. Yeah, it'll do you good. That's Satan's, out of Satan's own mouth, all right? Stay on the right path, the path of righteousness. 13. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto them. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. In other words, you know who they are, and be a blessing to them. But he wished them to prosper in that truth. The easiest thing in the world is to prosper in the truth, in his word. And that's why we covered this particular book in the New Testament, is to show you that truth, which is God's word, will assist and help you in life, whereby, you know, you come to that place. We make our decisions based on what we got loaded here, all right? We downloaded into this thing, our mind. And you will make your decision on that. Load it with good stuff. Don't load it with garbage. Don't listen to garbage. But listen to God's word, and it will always help you make the right decision to take the right road. But the beauty of it is, that's what brings prosperity to you and your family, and that's good. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the truth, for the word, Father. And Father, we know that we cannot think as you think, but Father, thank you for the word and the giving us the ability to teach that word, Father, with understanding and accept it, Father, as truth. Bless these and keep us all on the right path. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.